Anti-Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So we're going to move right on into the next segment here of Healthy Talk. And I have coming up, we're going to talk about what's really in our food. Have you ever thought about that? What's really in your food? You would think it's food, right? You would think it's some carbs, some protein, some fat, some vitamins, minerals, right? You know, basic stuff, some antioxidants, fibers, you know, what have you. Oh, no. Many of us don't know where our food comes from, and we don't know what's really in it. Many of the edible appearing products on grocery store shelves contain ingredients that have the potential to be harmful. And let's be honest, we are seduced by the pretty pictures on the box. I've often told my listeners, we got to stop looking at the front cover. We got to go to the back cover where the label is. We also, listen, we fall for all the marketing claims by the manufacturer. I mean, these are smart people that write those marketing claims. We don't really know what's in our food, trusting that if they are selling it, it must be good for us or at least safe to eat, right? Maybe not. My guest is Myra Desi. She's a certified nutrition educator and real food advocate. Myra, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on. And it's Mira.
Please forgive me. I'm sorry, Mira. No worries. So we're having technical difficulties and I ruined your name. Isn't that great? Welcome to Healthy Talk.
All right. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I am too. This is important because I don't think we do know what's in our food, do we? And you have what you call the pantry principle. Is that right? Can you tell us what the pantry principle is?
Sure. So the pantry principle is the idea of eating clean and avoiding chemicals and additives that can be harmful to your health.
A whole book around this, a website around this, right? This pantry principle. How important is this that we really focus on this stuff? I mean, let me back up. What inspired you to do all this?
Well, the inspiration was because a number of years ago, I personally got really sick. And I was so ill that at one point, I had difficulty even walking up a flight of stairs. I had to lie down at the top, even if I was just going to bed. And as I began to work my way back towards health, I realized that it wasn't just what I was eating, it was what was in what I was eating that was making me sick. And so I realized that this was something that no one ever talked about, as you were just mentioning a minute ago.
Right. So this is real personal for you, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It actually caused me to change careers, go back to school, and spend time studying nutrition and food and its impact on the body, and begin a career as a nutrition educator.
When you started doing all the research into what's in our food, I mean, were you just amazed or disgusted? I'm not even sure what the right word is. What did you feel when you started researching all this and discovering this stuff?
I was horrified. I couldn't believe that all these things that I had been feeding myself and my family were in our food. And it turns out there are items in our food that are known to cause cancer, but they're believed to be generally recognized as safe if you have just a little bit.
I love that, generally recognized as safe. Doesn't that just make you feel comfortable and safe and at peace and everything?
Well, and what I want to know is who's determining how much you're eating, because generally recognized as safe is a level that's assigned to perhaps that particular food and that particular ingredient, but who knows how much else you're eating of that throughout the day or your week or whatever.
Well, when you were doing the research and discovering some of this stuff, are these ingredients, like the carcinogens, for instance, that you mentioned that you discovered, are these easy to find in our food on the label? Are these included in the label, or because they're in such lower amounts that they're hidden sometimes? I guess maybe how did you go about searching all this?
Well, I started with the things that I knew. So artificial colors was one of the first things that came to my attention. It turns out, well, first of all, most people don't realize they're made from petrochemicals, which is like gasoline, basically,
right.
And a lot of people are not aware of that. And they're in everything. Even things that don't look like they have color to them can have artificial colors. And the research shows that it is tied to attentional disorders in children, and
right.
that can be problematic. And as I just began to delve more and more into it, I began to look up the words that I didn't know on the label, find out what they were, and then began to look at the scientific studies showing that they were tied to migraines and digestive distress and all of these different issues.
Right. When you look at the different artificial ingredients, say the artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, artificial preservatives, I mean, we know across the board these things are making us sick. We get that. But when you look at that and did the research, out of those three groups, which one scares you the most?
Oh, that's really hard. Because
too hard to answer? No.
Well, you know, part of the challenge is that there's so much. We take in an overwhelming toxic load by the time we add up all of these things. And that was part of what led me to write The Pantry Principle and to work with people to help them learn how to make decisions for themselves. It's not a quick fix. This is
right.
something that takes time and attention, and you really have to work on one thing at a time, figure out what's important to you. And
yeah.
get rid of that.
You know, when I teach a lot that the human body is very resilient. We do have a wonderful built-in detox system called the liver, and it is an amazing organ that is able to deal with a lot of stuff, but not at the level that we are now asking it to detox at. So I think you're right. I don't think necessarily it's a little bit of an artificial color, a little bit of an artificial sweetener, or what have you. It's the fact that we're swimming in this stuff, aren't we? I mean, so we're overwhelming those normal internal detox systems, and the result of that is they build up and we get sick. Doesn't the government regulate this, though, to some extent, these artificial ingredients?
You know, they really don't. They regulate some of it. As a matter of fact, they've just recently announced that trans fats are no longer generally recognized as safe.
Right. That was something brand new. Right. Yeah. That they just did that. What, like last week? Right. We've been talking about it for 10
yeah.
years.
Exactly. And so they're part of the challenge. Most people don't realize that. Generally recognized as safe is a label that can be adopted by the manufacturer or producer of that food product. They can say, we've done research and it's generally recognized as safe. And until the government gets around to looking into it, they'll go, okay, and go with it.
Right. Yeah, the government takes more of an innocent until absolutely proven guilty approach in the United States, where even if there's a little bit of evidence showing that it might be dangerous, you can use it. In Europe, it's different, though. They go by, they do the opposite. If there's any hint that it might be dangerous, they remove it. And that's, you know what, this surprised me. When you look at what a lot of the European nations have disallowed in their food sources, we allow some of that stuff, especially the artificial colors. I know that we allow about 7 in this country, and Europe has gotten rid of a vast majority of those. So that innocent until proven guilty thing may work in the court of law, but not necessarily in our food, does it?
Well, and one of the fascinating things is there are American companies making food products for the overseas market. They make 2 different varieties. Our
right.
version has artificial colors. Their version doesn't.
Right.
And
right. You know, it reminds me of a story. I was with a nephew of mine, and she was eating a sundae from a fast food restaurant. And yes, sometimes the kids got to go there. And it was a bright red looking syrup strawberry sauce on it. And it was red dye 40 here. But in Europe, it's red dried red beets to get the color.
Yeah.
So in Europe, they're using beets. Here, they're using a chemical. Isn't that what? I mean, when I read that, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I know. And the other thing that I think is really challenging is because we don't, not enough people know about it. There's not enough of a hue and a cry. I mean, it's fascinating to me, going back to how you were talking about the liver, we know that high fructose corn syrup is toxic to the liver. It just overloads right. it and is really dangerous. But for a long time, there was attention that said, oh, you know, high fructose corn syrup isn't so bad, really, what's the big deal? And then it got to the point where enough people said, I just really don't want to eat that anymore. And now you see products on the grocery store shelf that proudly say, no HFCS, right. you know, we only use real sugar and all of that kind of stuff. So until people begin to really say what's important to them about what's in their food, manufacturers aren't going to change. So
right.
we need to
help them. Absolutely. And yeah, so often in this industry, things really are working at that grassroots effort, aren't they? Where changes are made, and we're fighting against a lot of bureaucracy when those grassroots efforts do get going. But if enough people demand it, manufacturers will give us what we demand, right? I mean, they're there to make money. Thanks for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.